Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm not Coco.
And I'm not Daltz.
And Coco and Daltz, we review movies, we review books, we review Netflix. We do a lot of reviewing. We're real people, and we do real reviews.
Because we're clever.
Because we're puns. We are, and we're also phonetically correct.
Which nobody cares about except us, because right. We're the English and journalism majors.
We are the writer types. So,
Coco, which is why we're now doing a podcast that we're not getting paid for.
It's a logical career progression.
Don't follow in our footsteps, kids.
From getting underpaid to doing what we were doing before to getting underpaid what we're doing now.
Get your dreams crushed now before you, before later when you're disappointed. As Will Ferrell said to a small child in his recent movie Eurovision Song Contest, which dropped on Netflix yesterday, which we are reviewing today.
Tell us about it, Coco. What is the summary of the plot of this movie?
So, Eurovision Song Contest is about Lars and Sigrid, played by Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. They are from a small village in Iceland, and ever since Lars was a little kid, he wanted to win the Eurovision Song Contest, which, if you're not familiar with it, it's a song contest in which each European...
Is it like The Voice or like America's Got Talent or...
Yeah, it's something like that, except they're playing for national pride. Like each country has one act that they submit and then...
Oh, it's like the World Cup of music.
Yes, exactly.
Why you got to be all nationalistic, Europe?
I mean, well, yeah. And it's... I've seen it a few times. I know there are places here in the States where you can watch it, or you could probably stream it online at this point. But I lived in Europe a couple times in the 90s and I watched it, and it's extremely cheesy. I don't think the way it was portrayed in the movie was really too far off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was pretty accurate.
It was pretty accurate.
Because the cheese factor was high in that movie.
It could have turned a little bit more serious. Like, I mean, you can definitely tell the people who are in it to win it because they actually have serious like songs with uplifting messages and stuff. And then you have like the Eastern Euro EDM like dance people who
wearing their expensive jeans on stage.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, so Lars's dream since he was a little kid was to win this thing.
After seeing ABBA in the 1974 version
right,
of totally. The Euro Song Contest.
I mean, can you blame him? Waterloo is a great song.
Right.
And
oh, by the way, the other person who is of fame who has emerged from that, Celine Dion.
Oh. Did she sing for France?
No, France? She's Canadian.
Well, yeah, but it's the Eurovision Song Contest.
I don't know how that worked.
All right. Well, so anyway, so back to the summary. So so through a series of shenanigans, Lars and Sigrid end up representing Iceland in the Eurovision Song Contest, which takes place in Edinburgh. And a lot of the movie is kind of dedicated to... Sigrid is in love with him and she wants to get with him, but he's just dedicated to his dream. And so it's partially a love story, but also partially their what they get up to when they're in Edinburgh for the song contest. And then they do make it to the finals of the song contest. And then after that, it's a very short denouement after you find out whether they won or not. And
did you mention that they represent Iceland?
I did say that. And if you are interested in more Icelandic series, we reviewed the Valhalla Murders, which is a limited series also available on Netflix. Check it out, probably around episode 50, 55. Go back in our library and listen to that. It's a much different vibe than the
yes.
Eurovision Song Contest.
Although I must say that the two things that I've learned from, well, the one thing I've learned from two of these viewings, so watching Valhalla Murders and also watching the Eurovision Song Contest, is that there's a lot of murder in Iceland, apparently. So watching the crime show, you sort of expect it. But in this one, there's like a boat that blows up and kills all the Icelandic contestants for the contest. And so that's how Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams end up going there. Their band is so terrible. Their band is called Fire Saga. Of course it is. And actually, yeah. The full title of this movie is...
Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
Which is kind of redundant when you think of story and saga being in the same sentence. So I think that's probably intentional. And as with all of Will Ferrell's good movies, it has a colon in the title. So the Talladega Nights, Ricky Bobby story, or The Ballad of Ricky Bobby has a colon in it. And Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy. His two best movies, arguably. This is not in that category.
So tell me what you think about it.
I was going there. Okay. Is that it's fine. I think so. Here's the background, listener. This is why we watched this movie, is because we were looking for something lighter to watch. I've been watching a lot of Star Wars movies, watching a lot of crime movies, and oh, by the way, global pandemic. So we needed something a little bit lighter, and comedy is a good way to do that. And Will Ferrell is a better way to do that, I think.
And it just got released yesterday, yeah. So we were Friday. Like, oh, this is perfect. Yeah. Like, we can just hop on it the day it comes out, and then we can review it for you, because we were in the middle of a three-episode mini-series on reviewing the three Star Wars trilogies, and the third trilogy is so bad that we were like, yeah, let's kind of put that off and review.
We will still do that. But
we're still going to do it, but just not today.
I think obviously. We both needed a palate cleanser that. And this is definitely a palate cleanser. Will Ferrell's character is over the top. You can just imagine what he would be in portraying an Icelandic singer. Like, you imagine that, and then you've got that. It's sort of like his Dodgeball character, I believe. And there's a couple of movies that he was in where he was this extreme... I'm trying to think of the fashion guy. Was that Dodgeball that he
was? He was also... was it Mugatu in Zoolander?
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Zoolander. I knew it was a movie with Ben Stiller in it. So he's kind of like that character, only not as audacious, obviously. Rachel McAdams is charming and awesome and does a lot of her own singing in this, and it's mixed in the audio. I'm not just saying that because she's Canadian, but she's pretty charming. She's to me the shining light in this particular production. There's a lot of great little lines in it. There's a lot of laughs. It's not really anything that I'm going to go back and watch. It's not like an Anchorman or Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. Like, it's not one of those movies where I think, oh, Will Ferrell, I'm going to watch Eurovision Song Contest again. I don't think I'm going to watch it again, but it was a nice light little peppy ditty for, you know, we're running out of new things to watch that are really exciting. And I think you can tell by you agreeing to watch a Will Ferrell movie. I think that's a big step there.
Well, I think I also kind of said I really need to watch something comedic, because I've been through a lot in the past month and I just kind of needed something lighter. So yesterday morning I was crying and I was like, can we watch the Will Ferrell movie tonight? Because I really need to watch something that's a palate cleanser. And Daltz got valuable relationship points by agreeing to do that. So thank you, Daltz.
And only in showing how great a person you are, Coco, is that you would offer up a Will Ferrell movie to a guy as, you know, hey, can we watch this? I'd be like, yeah, we can watch this. Where you been? So what did you think, Coco?
I'm like you. I probably am not going to go back and watch it again, but I really liked it. It was definitely what I was looking for in terms of being light, not having to think about it a whole lot. There were some really solid laughs. I think the funniest part was when Lars was making fun of American tourists. Like, that was a motif that recurred three times throughout the movie. And every time, I think that was the hardest time we laughed during the whole movie. So.
But did you notice that the Americans were the ones who ultimately saved the day?
Toward the end
of the movie.
That is very true.
Yeah. Redemption. There's a character arc, even for the peripheral characters.
The star of the movie, I thought, was Dan Stevens.
Yes.
Formerly of Downton Abbey, who played the Russian contestant Alexander Lemtov.
He was a Russian George Michael is what he was.
He was hilarious. Yeah. He just committed to that role, and his looks and his accent and the characterization.
His gestures.
Like, everything was just so amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
I have actually never seen Downton Abbey except for like a few minutes here and there, so I don't really know much about him as an actor, but he was solid gold in this.
Yeah.
And Rachel, like, he was like the comedic heavyweight, yeah. And then he stole every scene he was in, but then Rachel McAdams was like the heart of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, she's so good at everything she does. I wish she had kind of a better career than I wish she was in more stuff than she's in, because she's good at comedy. She's good at physical comedy. She's good at drama.
She was good in Spotlight.
Yeah, she was good in Spotlight. She's very versatile. So I enjoyed that a lot.
Yep.
So yeah, I really liked it. And it was just about 2 hours long, and it did not feel like that at all. Like, there weren't any parts where I was like, man, you know, when are they going to wrap this thing up? Like, come on, let's get to the finals.
Which is
already,
long so. For a comedy. Usually yeah. comedies are about an hour and a half. Like, they're usually yeah. less than 2 hours.
Yeah, I was really surprised when we turned it off and I picked up my phone and I was like, oh my God, it's already 9 o'clock, because we started watching it pretty much right at 7. So
we are early watchers.
Yeah, yeah, we are. So
what'd you think of Will Ferrell?
He was funny. I liked him. Yeah. Will Ferrell for me can be very hit or miss. Mm-hmm. Like, I either think he's really funny or I'm like, oh, okay, this has gone on too long. But but because he wasn't the sole focus of the movie, like, because Rachel McAdams was like right up there with him mm-hmm. in, you know, screen time. Like, I thought he did a good job. I thought he was funny without being too over the top and mm-hmm. clowny. And then because he wasn't the focus, like, I thought that was good. I thought Pierce Brosnan, he also played Will Ferrell's
as
father.
The dad.
Yeah, perhaps Rachel McAdams' dad as well.
Running joke.
Yeah, he did a good job. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It was exactly what I was looking for. And
good.
You know, maybe if there is ever a time when I'm having a really tough time and I need something light to watch, like, I'd go back to it. But
when yeah. I'm not available to do like my soft shoe impression at the in front of the TV, like da da da. Or we can also just sing Ya Ya Ding Dong.
That was a great song.
I had to get that reference into this podcast.
There was also one recurring joke where, so they're wedding singers. Like, they just kind of play whatever gigs they can get in their little town. Mm-hmm. And because it's a little town,
and
everybody knows
pub.
Them and yeah. they knows all their, you know, all their catalog. And there's, you know, one guy who at every gig is like, play Ya Ya Ding Dong, play Ya Ya Ding Dong. And he's like angry about it. He's not like the happy drunk guy who's like, yeah, man, I love Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Like,
he's
like Freebird. No,
right. No,
that?
He's going to like throw a beer bottle like yeah. on the stage.
He's like angry Icelandic guy, right? Like big sort of burly stereotypical beard and everything like that. And he's like, play Ya Ya Ding Dong.
He is going to kick some ass if
right.
he does not hear Ya Ya Ding
so
Dong.
We hear a lot of Ya Ya Ding Dong in this, which is an Icelandic song, apparently.
Which is great, because I that's probably the most memorable song from the
well, that's
whole
what I
movie
said.
For me.
When the movie ended, I said to you, didn't I, at the end, I said, so what's the movie, what's the song that's going to stick with you through from this movie?
And
we paused, and it was like,
Ya
Ya
Ding,
Ding
Dong.
And so that's a way of saying that there's a lot of really elaborately produced and directed and sung songs in this. There's some of them are really campy intentionally. Some of them are very earnest and well-meaning because it's a bit of a musical comedy. Like they bring it, they break out into song and stuff, and it's not what you think of as a Will Ferrell movie. So if you're going into this thinking that he's going to be running around in his underwear, you know, pretending he's on fire on the track, like it's not that kind of Will Ferrell movie, but it's about two steps back from that.
I mean, he does get to wear a lot of really tight, like, Viking
unitards.
Outfits and unitards that he stuffs with like a watermelon or something, so
or like old newspapers.
Right.
It didn't look like it was an appropriate representation of right. of a man package. So, but I had sort of low to medium expectations going into this, because I was thinking, well, Will Ferrell's best days have gone by. Like, he hasn't really done a lot of great stuff lately. And how can you really top, you know, in fairness to him, how can you really top what I think is, you know, his best stuff is Anchorman and Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights. Those are two fantastic movies and great parodies and great satires of American culture as a whole. So how do you really top that? So I had kind of like, well, how's this going to go? And I was never really a fan of his work on Saturday Night Live. I thought he was kind of over the top and he was always yelling, and I was just didn't think it was funny.
He did a great George W. Bush impersonation.
He did actually. And that special that he did as George W. Bush, the stand-up that he did, was really funny. So I had sort of low expectations, like I said, low to medium, but actually it was good. It was, he wasn't too, and he wrote it, he co-wrote it. So when you have something like that and you don't have somebody reining you in, you can be a little bit on the, you know, the over the top side. But he actually did a pretty good job of being, I wouldn't say subtle, but not as over the top as he could have been.
Uh-huh.
And he was funny. And it was good to see him have his fastball back a little bit, because his timing was good. And mm-hmm. you can tell there was some improv that they went with that really resonated and they kept in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, like, a lot of the best scenes from Anchorman and Talladega Nights are improv and just riffs with John C. Reilly or whoever it happens to be. And I think that you see a little bit of that with Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams. They have really good chemistry
mm-hmm.
together.
Yeah.
And they had, I can tell there was a couple of moments there where they were just kind of riffing off each other.
Uh-huh, definitely.
And it looked like it was sincere, and Rachel McAdams is such a pro. She didn't like break character or anything like that. The one thing I will say about this movie, and there, you know, it's not, we're not talking about the Thespian Awards or anything in this movie. But one of the things I found annoying was the breaking in and out of the accents. The accents were supposed to be Icelandic, and then, you know, sometimes it felt like it was Swedish, and then sometimes it felt like it was, like, there was a one scene that I forgot that Will Ferrell had an accent because I didn't even really hear one. So it was almost like he was talking like he usually does in American. And there was a couple of other scenes like that where the character, other than the, there are a lot of legitimate Icelandic actors in this, we should say, and it's set, it's actually set in Iceland. It's not like Montreal pretending to be Reykjavik or anything like that. Like, it's actually in Iceland.
Remember when we could travel to Iceland and to Scotland? And
remember travel?
Yeah, I remember travel. Wow. Remember when you could just hop on a plane and go somewhere?
I do remember that. Those are fond days. But yeah, overall, other than a few minor complaints like that, I thought it was a decent little light Friday night viewing.
Yeah, I'll give it that. I liked it. There were solid laughs. The pacing was good. The plot held my interest. Like I said, Dan Stevens was a total star. Will Ferrell and Rachel McAdams both did a great job. Like, yeah, I liked it.
And the thing about Dan Stevens was that he was supposed to be, he's kind of the de facto villain in this, but he, you like him so much that he doesn't really actually turn into a villain. Like at the end of the movie, there's some warmth and you can tell that there's a conspiracy there in some way, shape or form, but you're not sure. And of course he's Russian. So then we're supposed to suspect him as a, as a result of that. But actually it's very charming all the way around. And the breaking out of song, it's kind of random in some instances, but it works too. So I thought it was well done. I mean, it wouldn't give it like 18 dance kicks up or whatever we're rating this on, but it was a solid laugher.
And I am not a musical person at all.
What?
I know, right? Like, I am definitely not a fan of musicals. It just annoys me when people break out into songs.
So, but I shouldn't be doing song show tunes or anything like that?
I mean, it's been 4 years, so that's really started to pile up and, you know, bring me down. But yeah, I mean, they only, all the songs in this were basically in places where you would expect people to sing, like the song contest or at, you know, a wedding reception. There was only one time where people just spontaneously broke out into song.
At that party.
Party. And that didn't even really annoy me too much. So the fact that this was, like you said, a musical comedy and it didn't, I wasn't like throwing my shoe at the TV, like, I think that says something.
High praise indeed from Coco.
Right, totally.
That's like no shoes, I guess. That's the rating that gets. Yeah, that's a totally. No shoe movie.
Yeah. Speaking of like George W. Bush getting shoes thrown at him, I'm bringing it all back around.
Look at you with a throwback.
I know.
It's not even in the research notes that I have here. So nicely done off the top of your head.
I'm bringing it.
Wow. So overall, yay or nay?
Yay.
Yeah, a good yay. I'd say a good solid yay. With the caveat of knowing what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. Some of the online reviews, I think, have been, this Will Ferrell movie is a satire and it's very spoofy and I wasn't happy with it. It's like, well, it's a Will Ferrell movie.
Right.
So as long as you know that going in, you're not going to be getting like Tom Hanks moving from Big to Philadelphia. Like,
right.
You know, it's not right. that kind of transition.
Yeah.
So know what you're getting into and it's all good.
Right. It is what it is. Like, exactly.
It is what it is. So, Coco, do you want to close us out by telling people where we can be found?
Yes. So if you want to drop us a line and let us know what you thought about today's episode, what you want to hear us review in the future, what you think of episodes past, you can email us at cocoandaltz@gmail.com. That's all one word, and the and is spelled out, cocoandaltz@gmail.com. We are also on Facebook and Twitter. Our handles on both are cocoandaltz. You can also find us on the interwebs at cocoandaltz.com. If you're looking for other podcast episodes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, Pandora. I believe we're on TuneIn now.
Mm-hmm.
We're also on Google Play and YouTube. Have I forgotten anything?
Soon to be on IMDb.
Soon to be on IMDb. We still have to figure out how to submit to that. But when we are there, we will let you know. Check us out on one of our many platforms. We'll put that announcement up. And please also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We will give you a shout out if you leave us a review, but please only make it be good. because we don't want to be like,
you this, suck.
This guy says that we referenced Ya Ya Ding Dong way too much. So
I don't think that's possible. I think if somebody were to say that in a review, then I would just delete that review. Because you can never have too much Ya Ya Ding Dong.
Can we delete reviews, though? I don't know if we can.
Well, I don't mean like literally. I mean just like, you know.
We just will ignore
it. The cancel culture.
I guess that is true. Yeah. That's, and don't cancel us.
No. But please. I would cancel that review.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. So, for on
another,
that note.
Yes. For another episode. Thank you for listening. I'm not Daltz.
And I'm not Coco.